sermon a little bit different. And as I was sitting there, the crutch of it, the whole of it's going to be the same, but the beginning is going to be a little different. I had thought in my sermon notes, my preparation to start where Jesus was in his high priestly prayer, and we will get there. The thought of this week is to know Jesus, all right? To deeply understand him.
Amen.
And as she was playing the music and I was in meditation up here thinking, the Lord brought my heart to Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah came to know God in a true, different way. He had knew him. He had known him. Knew him. See, I'm from the South. He knew him. He knew him as the lawgiver. He knew him as righteousness. But until he got into the very throne room of God, until he saw that vision, nothing really changed in his life. But in Isaiah chapter 6, things changed for him. And so he says in Isaiah 6, and starting in verse 1, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Catch the vision, will you?
Amen.
There came a time that Isaiah saw God in a new way. He saw him real and personal and full authority. And his train filled the temple. Alright? And as he says, above the temple stood the seraphim, each one having six wings, and twain they covered their face, and twain they covered their feet, and twain they did fly. And one cried out to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is filled with his glory." And the post of the doors were shaken in the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a coal in his hand, which he had taken from with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Amen. More to it, but that's where I'm going to start. What does it mean to know God?
Absolutely surrender to his will and never question what comes into your life. Just see what he wants you to see.
Okay, and I'll start talking in a minute. You done?
Yeah, I'm done. Just wanted to get that little point in there. You asked a question.
I did.
True.
I did ask a question. No doubt. And, okay, let me come back, because now my mind's like this.
Bless your heart.
You're absolutely right what you said, no doubt. But there's a difference in knowing about God and really knowing God.
Amen.
And you're right, absolute surrender is a thing, and we'll get to that, Lord willing. Knowing God is really life eternal. That's what Jesus said in John 17, verses 1 through 3. "And the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him the power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal," this is life eternal, "that they might know," all right, this knowing, this deep understanding, "thee, the only true God, and the Christ whom thou hast sent." Church, do we really know God? Do we really know him? If this is life eternal, to understand who God is, to know him in a deep personal relationship, we must ask ourselves, do we only know him as John 3:16? Do we only know him as the Lamb that died for the sin of the world? If that's all you know him, that's good enough for right now, but he wants to bring you into a deeper understanding of the fullness of God.
Yes.
And you can only get that by through studying his word, by walking in righteousness, by holding on to the things that are truly holy.
Amen.
The seraphim.
flew above the throne of God, and they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And the door and the earth is filled with His glory. Holy, holy, have you gotten there yet? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and this earth is filled with His glory. Let me ask about the doorpost of your heart. Are they shaking yet? The holiness of God is in you right now.
Amen.
Do we fear Him? Do we love Him? Do we reverence Him? Do we know Him? Because in the knowing of God, that is eternal life.
Amen.
Life eternal. Without knowing Him, there is no life at all. You may be breathing, you may be sucking air, but you're not really living.
Mm-hmm.
You're not living until you know Him.
Amen.
Oh, and when you know Him, there's a difference in life. Not just the life here, but life eternal, which is the ending promise. But you can have life today, right now. You can know Him, and you can be filled. And this whole earth can become glorious to you, even in the midst of darkness.
Amen.
You know what the glory of the earth is? It's when His saints humble themselves before the throne of God, and they reflect the goodness of God to everyone. That's the glory of God that the world's going to see.
Yeah.
Question is, do you love Him? Do you know Him? Do you want Him? Oh, to know the Father and the Son truly brings that life. Amen? So what is it to truly know somebody? Let me ask, how do you get to know a person? Anybody. Right? How do you get
spend
to know
time with them?
You know, spend time with them. What do you, so, to spend time with them, what does that mean? Y'all come here for an hour on Sunday, right? You know me? No, you don't. You don't. You men, you come out on Tuesday nights. You know me a little bit better because I unbuckle my belt. You know, we talk about stuff. When I say that, you know, when you get fat at the Thanksgiving table and you got to undo that belt. You know, that's in men's Bible study. That's what we do. We're so into it. We just relax. We talk about things. You get to know more in an intimate relationship where we can sharpen one another.
Amen.
Sunday morning is one thing. Praise God. And I like Sunday morning. I like the Bible study before Sunday school, or Sunday school before the preaching. Because that is like that. That's that coming together and working out some things. And it's a beautiful and a glorious thing. But that's coming to know God. That's understanding Him for who He is. Not for what we conceive He is. Because in the fullness of our conception and our thought process, we can't fully know Him. But we can truly know Him through His Word.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We can truly know Him through the unctioning, through the guiding of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1 and 3 says it this way, His divine power hath given us how much? All things. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God, His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that have called us to His glory and virtue. So we're called to a virtue, but it's not your virtue, it's His virtue.
Amen.
We're called by a power, it's not by your power, it's by His power.
Amen.
We're called by a Holy Spirit, it's not your idea of who the Holy Spirit, but the reality of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the Godhead, in you, on you, working through you to reach a lost and dying generation.
Yeah.
Guess which generation you're in? A lost and dying one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the generation before you, guess what generation they were in? Lost and dying one. You know, and the next generation, if the Lord allows one to come up, guess what they're going to be? Lost and dying. Their hope is through Jesus Christ. And how will they know Jesus Christ but through you? But the legacy that we leave behind, the righteousness of God. But if we look more like the world and we look like Christ, then what kind of legacy are we truly living?
That's right.
What are we giving? What are we leaving? Mm-hmm. When people see you, they should see the holiness of God. Be ye holy because He's holy. Right? And that's something we must do. Now, our relationship with God, the Godhead Trinity, this is the cornerstone. See, we can't even begin to understand holiness. We can't even begin to understand God, the fullness of God, until you are born again.
Amen.
First, before any of before any of this makes any kind of sense to you, before you can add one and one and come up with the correct answer, one and one are 11. 1 + 1 = 2. 1 and 1 are 11.
Right.
And so, anyhow, that's as far as I got in math. Our relationship, the saving power, the saving grace which is provided through the knowledge of the Most High God. This means to have true fellowship.
Amen.
How do you get to know somebody and spend time with them? Well, as far as I know, Jesus died on a cross and he went into glory. So how do I spend time with them? His word and?
Prayer.
Prayer and?
Fellowship.
Oh, fellowship. Do you know that each of you have the Holy Spirit in you?
Yeah.
And when I'm with you, guess who I'm next to? The living part of the Trinity of God.
Praise the Lord.
That's why we're told not to forsake the assembly of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're told to come together.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're told that faith is stronger than sight.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Yeah. Those are those reasons. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Do you know that you cannot love God in and of yourself?
No.
You can't. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians and say that they love God. But if they have not been called by God, they can't understand what love is. They can't understand the depth and the fullness, the height, the width, the length, the breadth of God.
Amen.
That he has loved us well. So coming to know God, because God is love, first we need to humble ourselves in the sight of God, that we can do like Isaiah said, I'm an unclean man with unclean lips, and I come from a group of unclean people. And then to stand still when God takes a coal from the very altar of God and comes and singes your nasty lips with it and says, your iniquity is made clean. That singeing, that burning off of the dross, that burning off of the nasty stuff.
Amen.
That is a director from the Holy Spirit of God. Are you willing to be burnt? Are you ready to be scorched a little bit? Amen? Because I truly believe that most of the church in America does not know God the way God is worthy to be known.
Right. Yeah.
We have an idea of what we think he's like. All right, but do we know him like the Scripture tells us he is? And if we don't, then we need to get to know him better.
Amen.
You know that you can know him better than what you know him now. How do you do that? Well, yeah, he wants us to truly know him, to walk in a deep relationship with him. But we need to adjust our thoughts, our lives, and our daily walk to be with him. Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, and he said in 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Listen, do you have a desire to have that? Amen? That in that thought process, that he didn't consider it to be equal with God. Do you know that you are in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
That you are part of the holiness of God? That he has called us into his fullness. I wrote down half of the scripture, and I know it goes further than that, and I can't stand it when I do that. So, coming back to Philippians, I'm going to read that whole thing. Verse 5. Amen? Do I get an amen?
Amen,
amen, amen out of that? Because half a thought is still just like a good. And so, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 says, whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and giving him a name which is above every name, that at that name, amen, at that name every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things of earth. Every knee should bow of the things of heaven and the things of earth and things under earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God, the Father.
Amen.
And he says, wherefore, beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. All right? It's time to get your tool bags out. Is there something in you that needs to be worked on?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen? Mm-hmm. If you are in your flesh, guess what? There's something that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
Right? You are not perfect. You ain't made it yet. If Paul hasn't made it, you ain't made it either. Paul's a lot holier than you'll be. Right? He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I think he had a little bit better understanding than what I have. But he said, not as if I have made it, but one thing I do is I lay behind me. I cast it off the things that are behind, but then I persevere. I press for the high call of Christ. That's knowing God. That's understanding who you are. That's understanding the righteous, holy God and the unrighteous man. That's understanding His goodness, His grace, His mercy, and your unworthiness. And then comes the two favorite words in the whole Bible. What is it, church? But God. Amen? But God. Yeah, I am unrighteous. I am unworthy in my sight. But God thought I was worthy enough to send Jesus, His Son, to die on a cross for my unrighteousness.
Amen.
All right, so in my eyes, I ain't worth much. Oh, but in God's eyes, I'm worth the blood. I'm worth the blood of His only Son.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Yeah, I got worth, but it's not mine. It's His worth.
Amen.
I got a goodness. It's not my goodness. It's His goodness. That's me coming to know who God is and the depravity of man. Church, if you think God owes you something, you're wrong. It was paid in full on the cross of Calvary. He loves you so much.
Yes, amen.
Now, God is so good and we're so bad and He's so right and we're so wrong. How can we walk together in that way? And Amos, come on, what is it? Amos 3:3, I think it is. Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Jesus is going to walk with us, or we're going to walk with Him, something needs to change.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And since, does Jesus change?
No.
Does the Word of God change?
No.
Does God the Father change?
No.
Does the Holy Spirit change?
No.
So if something needs to change, who is it?
Us.
It's us. It's me. I need to change. I want to walk with God to know Him. I want to spend time to fellowship with Him. And if I have an indwelling iniquity that separates me from the love of God, what needs to change? I do.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, I promise you through the Word of God, we all could do better.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
We all could die to ourselves a little bit more today.
Mm-hmm.
He is the same. He does not change. In that same place where I was in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7, this is where we're going to start preaching. I love you guys. Lord, as we've laid the groundwork here, Father, I ask even now to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask even now, Lord Jesus, that You would help us to hear, help Your church to hear. Help us to know You, God. I want to know You. I want us to know You, to walk intimately with You. Lord, and if, as there is sin, not if there is sin, but as there is sin in me, God, cleanse me daily. Your Word. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians 3 and verse 7. What things are gained to me, I count loss for Christ. Let me ask you this. Are you there yet? The things that are gained for you, is it, do you count what you have lost? Now remember who's writing this. This is Paul who's writing this down. Who's giving it. And he had a lot of stuff. He was SMRT. He was a smart man. He was underneath the teachings of Galileo. Yeah, that guy. He was the greatest teacher of Israel in that time. And Paul was right underneath him. He was Saul at that time. He had smarts. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee, circumcised. On the eighth day, he was exactly what he was supposed to be. He was righteous in and of his own eyes.
Oh, again, my two favorite words, but God. Met him on a road when he was going to persecute the church and knocked him off his donkey. All right? Who here needs to be knocked off their high horse? Amen? I do. I need to be knocked off my high horse because I think things often that are not God-like. I say things often that are not God-like. My eyes are turned to the ways of the world more than to the Word of God. Forgive me. Forgive me. Amen? He says, what things were gained to me? Oh, when you come to know Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, the things of earth grow strangely dim.
Yes, right.
Amen? Amen. Uh-huh. They were, but I count it for loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. How bad you want to know him. Right? Look at what Paul said. He says, I count all things as loss for the opportunity, for the excellency of knowing God. Do you know just to know him? Do you know that what God has done, that you can even recognize that there is a God? That there's a God that loved you, that died for you, that rose again on the third day? That God, you know what excellency that is? Oh, to know him. What would I give to know him more?
Everything.
Amen. Now let me ask you, is that true? She said everything.
Everything.
How about Facebook? Will you give up Facebook to know God?
Yes.
Amen? Amen. How about ways, your daily soap operas? I don't know what it is. I have your way with my wife, isn't that one of them? As the stomach churns.
You're right.
Amen. We can go generally in the hospital, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know if those things are even on the stupid box anymore. Again, how about just giving up the stupid box? I saw, thank you, Mary, she sent this, and my wife put it out on the morning notes, what watching TV does to the human mind. People, I told you last week, I told you the week before that, your cable that comes in or your internet that comes in, that is a cable coming directly out of the navel of Satan. It's coming out of the navel from the most decrepit, nasty thing in the whole creation of God. We invite him to our house and put it on a great big 55-inch plasma TV. We say we have no other gods but God, but don't we sit down and go, for like 15 hours watching John Wayne reruns? That was me. Watching people drive around in circles really fast. Or some stupid people chasing a ball around the field. Okay, it doesn't matter if it's baseball, football, golf. People watch tennis. How stupid.
Golf,
even worse. It really is. But people waste their time in that. And the thing is, it numbs us so much that we forget who we are in Christ. Things that we would never pay attention to once we sit in front of that stupid box. Soon as you sit down in front of that, you're watching things, you're inviting things into your life that you would never consciously take in. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, the TV show I'm watching is not that bad. How about the commercials that are over half of the TV show?
Yeah, right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. I don't need to see other women's underwear. Right. Victoria, again, ain't got no secrets.
No.
She done shown it all. There ain't nothing she's got to hide. I'm a man. I don't need to see that garbage.
Yeah.
How about take this pill and you'll feel better?
Yeah.
If you take this pill, you hold into pharmakia.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you get into sorcery. The Bible calls it sorcery and witchcraft. Take this pill, you'll feel better. People, no, you won't. You won't. It will suck you dry. Anyhow, I'm going to jump off that soapbox there.
If it's not that good, it's not that great.
Amen. It's not that great. Amen. Right.
Absolutely. Take this, and yeah, you'll feel better, but you're going to have heart problems. You're going to have stomach problems. And it may cause you to commit suicide, you know. But, hey, you'll feel better until the bullet hits the brain. You'll be in real good shape. Anyhow, that's not what I'm really here to talk about. He says, I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord.
Amen.
All right. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung. People. Your storage buildings. Right? Oh, I have 26 storage buildings. I've got so much crap in my storage. And dung. Okay, we're all with the Bible today. Yeah, I'm a little gruff. I'm not politically correct, right? And I may say some things that offend you, and if I haven't yet, hold on. It's fine, right? I'm an equal opportunity offender. I'm not here to make anybody happy. My job is to guide you into Christ to make you whole.
That's right.
Amen. And so, have we thought of the things before God that I might win Christ? Now, are we willing to give up your radio station? Because the radio is just as wicked as the TV, that you might gain Christ. Well, I only listen to 99.7. Listen, people, there's a lot of false doctrine comes out of 99.7. There's a lot of things that they will tell you that is not true. Just because it's on the radio doesn't make it gospel. Just because it's on the TV, just because it's the 700 Club, that don't make it right before God's eyes. You know, you want to know what's going to make you right and know God more? Amen. My Bible. It's the Word of God. YouTube will not tell you this. All right? Facebook is, my goodness, if we only knew how wicked that thing is, Twitter, all that garbage that's out there, if we only realized what kind of dung we were bathing in. We say we want to know God. Let me ask you this, how much time do you spend with Him? There's ways to know people, there's ways to do stuff. Have we counted all these things but dung before the Lord?
Amen.
That I might win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but but that which is through faith of Christ in righteousness, which is of God by faith. Amen. How many times does it say faith and righteousness there? All right, we got to believe God enough to put His righteousness not just on us, but in us.
Amen.
Because if it's not in us, you can't give it to anybody else. Be holy because He's holy. He says, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Oh, wait. I'm the church. I'm not supposed to suffer. It's all honeycombs and rainbows. And, you know, it's all good. Man, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They laid hands on me and, woo, I don't have no problems at all. You ain't got no problems in this world. You must be of the world because the world's going to love its own. If you're in Christ, the world's going to hate you. It's going to hate you. You want to be hated? Love Jesus. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, I'd rather be hated by this world than loved by God than hated by God and loved by this world.
Amen.
We got to make up our minds. Choose you today who you're going to serve. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Wow, Paul wasn't sure of his resurrection? Paul wasn't sure of his resurrection. I count all this world lost that I might gain the resurrection. Chew on that for a little bit. Or as the psalmist would say, Selah. Think about that. And Paul was, like I said before, a lot better, a lot more righteous, a lot more connected to the Lord than what I am. What made him so tight with God? He had a lot better prayer life than what I got. Amen. He already studied under Gamaliel, so he knew the scriptures inside and out. You know what he did do? He prayed.
Amen.
He sought the Lord. He fasted. He really wanted to know God and the power of his resurrection. He was willing to go through the suffering that he might gain a better resurrection.
Amen.
See, the Church of America says, "Oh, I'm Jesus' bride." Jesus wouldn't be his wife. We watched a movie just Friday night right here, The Insanity of God. You tell me that Russian family, that pastor that was beaten and starved and tortured and tormented, wasn't the bride of Christ?
Right.
You tell me that man, who that woman we just prayed for, Mary Mohammadi, Mary Mohammadi, over in Iran, that today is going to be locked up, that's going to be beaten. You tell me she isn't the bride of Christ? How about when the caliphate swept across the Middle East and they were taking Christians and burning them in cages and drowning them? They were being decapitated for Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus himself. God spared not his own son, but he allowed him to be nailed to a cross for my sin. Church, embrace the suffering.
Amen.
Embrace the suffering, because in that suffering you will have glory.
Amen. That's right. Our sufferings were appointed for us before
the
we
foundation.
Were born.
Amen. Yeah. That's true.
Yep, it is. So why fight them?
Amen. Don't relax.
Yes.
Trust God. Move forward.
Yes.
Amen. Do you want to know him? Embrace the sufferings of Christ.
Yes.
Embrace them. Now we have the living Bible that works in us, and it shows us the aspects mm-hmm. of God. And you know that God has many different names? Mm-hmm. I don't say that he's many different, but there's a lot of different identifications of God as you come to know him. Right? I have a book. I've studied this, and I have a better book. It's called The Bible. Anyhow, this is Knowing and Doing the Will of God by Henry Blackaby. I went through this book, and I've taught it several times. In here, in the back of the book, all right, I want you to know this is not my idea. This isn't my teaching. This is something that he went through. He has over 400 different names of God, identifying markers of God. To know God, do you know God in 400 different ways, or do you just know him as the Savior who died for you? Do you know him in the fullness of his glory? Do you know him, right, as the faithful God, the builder, of the commander of the armies of the Lord? I mean, the list goes on and on and on here. The rock in which I take refuge in, the spring of living water, the strength of my heart, the true God, you who judge the righteous and test the hearts and the minds of God from Jeremiah 11, and all these have scriptures right behind them. Our Redeemer from Isaiah 47, the Mighty One from Isaiah 33, our Leader, 2 Chronicles 13:12, the Consolation of Israel, Luke 2:25, the Lord of the Harvest, Matthew 9:38, the Lord of the Sabbath, Matthew 8. Excuse me, I'm reading it backwards. Okay, calm down. 12 and 8. I see things backwards sometimes. I've got to force myself to do it right. Anyhow, how about your great high priest from Hebrews 4 and 14? Do you know him that way? The head of the church. Do you know that Jesus is the head of the church? It's not me. All those pastors that closed down their buildings,
amen.
Right? They're not the head of the church. Jesus is. You ain't got the right. I don't care what Cuomo says. I don't care what's that doctor, the Fauci. Fauci, whatever you want to call him. He doesn't have the power. He's not God. He's a scientist. And if he knew you were a Christian, he would burn you at the stake. He doesn't love the church. He's anti-Christ. And people follow him hook, line, and sinker. Okay, so what? He's a scientist. Big deal.
not a doctor.
Amen. Even if he was a doctor, I don't go to the doctor either. You know what? If I get sick, guess what? I'm either going to get better or die. Period. And guess what? I ain't scared to death because it has no sting. Because I'm in Christ Jesus. I got a resurrection. Send me home early, baby. I ain't worried. So what? Well, you'll die choking in your own spit. Okay, all right, I'll die getting hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Right? I'll die of a brain aneurysm. We had a missionary just the other day in perfect health. Talked to the ITM in the morning and was riding his bicycle, and God took him home. Mm-hmm. Perfect health. So what?
Yeah.
Big deal. I know where I'm going. Death has, I'm not scared of this virus. I'm not even a little bit.
No.
And there's not one soul that died that God didn't know when they were going to die, how they were going to die, before they were born.
Right. Right.
So stop living in fear.
Right. Amen.
Anyhow, he's the one who came down from heaven and gives life to the world. John 6:33. Do you know him that way? Amen. We ought to. How about the resurrection and the life? John 11:25. The righteous judge, 2 Timothy. The righteous one, Acts 3:14. The rock of my salvation, the rock of ages, Isaiah 26. I have over 400 identifying titles of God.
Amen.
And you only know him as the one who won't hurt you. You don't know God. Amen. I could go through it. They're all in alphabetical order, and so all that I'm saying is that we can know him better.
Right.
You know him better by experience. You get experience by walking with him.
Amen.
Right? When Joshua and I first met in the woods by chance, no, by God. Amen. Where I had my dog, and she used to run chase deer. Right? And she ran up. He was a friendly dog, but Joshua didn't know it. He was about ready to kill my dog. He had a stick while he had his two little kids right behind him. He said, listen, that dog come another foot. I'm going to send it to dog heaven. Right? And he would have had every right to. Right? You protect those babies.
Mm-hmm.
He came up out of the woods. What? It took about 3 minutes and we were talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? And we have walked together since then. Amen. Following Jesus, not following me. But our friendship is because we knew Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We had a fellowship there.
Right.
We have. It's not had. It ain't over yet. Amen. We have a fellowship. Anybody who's born again, filled with the Spirit of God, guess what? You ought to be knit together with them.
Amen.
And don't let the government separate you.
Amen.
Do not trust the government. I think Reagan said it this way. Now that I'm getting political. But the most frightening words anybody will ever hear is, hello, I'm from the government, and I've come to help. Amen? Right? Listen, people, we need to trust Jesus Christ. There are 4 points that I am planning on talking about. I don't know if we'll get to them all today or not. Praise God. If you really want to know Jesus Christ, first is prayer. We talked about that. Second is devotion. You need to be devoted. Amen. Other is fellowship. Fellowship with believers. And the next is worship. Prayer. Jesus often went away. He went off alone to pray. Luke 5:16 says that he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. In Mark 1:35 it says, the word says, in the morning he rose up early. While it was before day, he went out, he departed into a solitary place, and he prayed. Let me ask you, does this describe your life? All right? Do you get up in the morning and pray? Or do you get up in the morning and can't wait to watch one of those Fox News shows? Well, what is it? Fox and Friends, right? That's what they call it? They're not friends. Amen. And a fox is a cunning chicken stealer. That's all foxes. Amen. Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
So, what do you do first thing in the morning? Do you get alone in a solitary place?
Mm-hmm.
See, I get up about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. That's just when I get up. You know why I get up that early? I go to bed at 8 or 9. All right?
Early to bed. Early.
I'm going to stay awake. You know why? Nothing good happens at night. Amen? None good. You get drunk in the nighttime. That's what the Bible says.
Those who do evil do it in the night. I like to go to bed. Why? Because I like to get up early in the morning. I like to come here when thoughts are crisp in my head, before the pollutions of the day come on. I like to get right here. This is my spot. You come here at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know where you're going to find me, and I'll be right here on my face. Because this is where I spend time in the morning.
Grace is every day.
Amen.
Every morning.
His mercy is
His grace.
It's His grace.
Every day.
Come on. That is what it is. But how many people just roll out of bed, throw on your shoes, and, well, I'll think about praying around lunch.
Yeah.
And then you pray something stupid like, God is great, God is good, I pray this food don't taste like wood.
Right?
You know, you'll have some cheesy prayer, heal my dog. Not that God doesn't care about your dogs, but how about kill me today?
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Do we ever get real with God well enough and say, Father, I want you so bad. I want to bear my cross today.
Amen.
Father, I want to be so holy that when people see me, they see you.
Amen.
That they see me in the shadow of the Most High God. How about that kind of prayer? Oh, that's a prayer that will change stuff. Not bless me, feed me, make me fat. Listen, you've heard me say it before. America is fat enough.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need none of that. Don't give me no keto diet. Amen. I want a diet of the living Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. If it was necessary for Jesus, God manifested in flesh, to draw Himself away to the wilderness and pray, how about you, you filthy sinner? Right? You ain't Jesus. And if it was important enough for Jesus to do, how about you? How often do you get out of the noise of the life? Can you stand silence?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, silence. No TV, no radio, no one talking to you. You not even talk. Have you ever shut up? Really? Just shut up and listen to God. I can't even drive my car without the radio on. Why not? Because you're afraid of your own thoughts.
Right. That's it.
And Jesus speaks in a still small voice. He's not going to be in your Led Zeppelin album. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know if y'all listen to Led Zeppelin or not, but anyhow. What's a modern group? Britney Spears?
Or even the album.
The album was the thing that blew it away. So, I want to challenge you, if you really want to know God, get up in the morning, separate yourself.
Amen.
Take your Bible to a solitary place. And I know a lot of you are single moms, right? And you say, well, I can't do that. Well, you know what's really neat? I did this with my sons when they're itty-bitty, teensy-tiny, when they were cute, long time ago. I was in charge of the 5 o'clock feeding, or the 3:30, the early morning feedings, right? So the baby would cry, and I'd get up, and I'd give him the bottle, and we'd play a little bit, and he'd burp and throw up on me and all. And you know, the things that babies do. And then he'd go to sleep. I wouldn't lay him down directly. I'd get my Bible in one hand. I'd have my child in the other hand. And I'd talk to God.
Amen.
I would listen to what God has to say. So you say to your mom, I never have a moment of silence. Your dad, I never have a moment of silence. Often we allow our flesh to be too tired to enjoy the silence when it comes.
Yes.
Right? I've got to give in to myself. Jesus got up early in the morning and he prayed. Prayer is probably the one most important thing. And it's not, remember, this is a conversation. It's not just you talking to God. It's the Lord speaking to you.
Amen.
And I don't know if you know how to hear a still, small voice, but it doesn't come over the radio. Right? It doesn't come over the noise of this life. It comes, well, as the prophet said, it wasn't in the tornado. It wasn't in the storm. It wasn't in the wind. There was a still, small voice. And God was in that. After the hoopla of the world goes away. It says, make the world go away. Get it off of my shoulders. I don't know what that just
brought. Hang it off.
Amen.
Take it off my shoulders.
Take it off my shoulders. Amen. If we would just get into that mindset and pray,
amen,
honestly,
amen,
seek the Lord. And the next thing is devotion. Are you really devoted to God? Is He, number one, hear you, Israel, hear you, church, the Lord your God is one God, and you shall love Him with how much?
Amen.
All. You're to worship Him with how much?
All.
Complete, total devotion. Do you understand what that means? To be totally devoted to God? Romans 12:1, and we ought to know this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least you can do, is present your bodies before the Lord. I have Hebrews chapter 10 written. This was a late note. I put it there this morning, so it's not in my written notes. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22-25. And I like to hear when your Bibles are rustling through the pages. Amen. Oh, I start. Yeah. Where did I say start? Scratch that thought. Back up a little bit. Because it's good. It's gooder before it gets to 22.
Amen.
In verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. You got any boldness? If you're living in sin, I'll guarantee you, you're more afraid than you are bold.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Right? He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a what? A true heart. And full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. All right, this is an all-day lollipop right there. You can lick that all day long. Amen. Coming to know God in this way, holding fast, drawing near. Let us be faithful because He's faithful. Let us consider one another, not forsaking each other, being devoted to the body of Christ. Do you know that it's important to be devoted here? To the body that you're joined with, you need to be serious about that.
Amen.
Jesus says, you're supposed to love me, and now understand, where is Jesus in you?
Amen.
Amen. All right, through the Spirit of God, He's in you. You're supposed to love me more than your mama, your daddy, your brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. And if you don't love me more than these, and I'm paraphrasing here in a big way, you cannot be my disciple. I sure would love to come to church, but my boy's got a ball game. I sure would love to come to Wednesday night service, but you know, I need to paint my toenails. I don't know what it is. I sure would love to come to a Bible study, but, you know, I leave it to Beavers on TV.
Then leave it to Beaver. Amen. Then leave it to Beaver. I like that.
Do we live in the reality of the devotion of Christ?
Amen.
That's it. Colossians, New Testament Chronicles. Okay. Colossians 3:17 says it this way: Whosoever or whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and giving thanks. Amen. Now wait, this is devotion time, right? Whatever you do, do it to the Lord. You go to work Monday morning, do it for God.
Right.
You're retired and you're just waiting around the shack till the mail train comes by, rolling in your sweet baby's arms. Do it for Jesus Christ. Amen. Do whatever you do for the glory of God. It matters not what you do. You do it for Him. Giving thanks, regardless of what it looks like, thankful to God for the things that He's provided. Matthew 6:24 says, "You can't serve two masters." I'm going to cut all these short because if I went all the way through them, you wouldn't go home tonight. Amen. So you can't serve two masters. Make up your mind today. In fact, Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose you today whom you will serve." Make up your mind. Are you a Christian or are you of the world? Which side are you on? You're either in or you're out. If you think that you're a lukewarm Christian, you're neither hot or cold, you know what you are? Vomit. You're vomit. Before God, He says, "I will spit you, I will spew you out of my mouth." Anybody put something in their mouth that tastes really, really bad? Yep. You spit it out immediately. You got something, Joe? Okay. Amen. Choose you who you're going to serve. Again, Luke 14:25-35. 10 verses here. And it talks about counting the cost. Have you ever counted the cost of what it means to be a Christian? Say amen when you get there, because this is more even more tempting. Amen. Are you like the Spanish I know? Starting in 25. Verse 14, starting in 25. "And there went a great multitude with them, and he turned and said unto them." Now catch out, I want you to get the picture. A great multitude, a whole bunch of followers of Jesus. And he says, "Listen," right? He got right in their face, and he starts hitting them right in the heart. You need to count the cost. Look at what he says here. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother, his wife, his children, his brother and his sisters, and yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." A lot of people following Jesus. He was having a revival. Many people were coming to the Lord. And he said, "Let's get this straight. If you don't love me more, you cannot come with me." Devotion. If you're not truly devoted, brother.
Amen.
Curtis, where are you?
Oh, I'm in Luke chapter 14. Mm-hmm. That was verse 25 and 26.
Thank you.
Rolling into 27. "And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Total devotion. Mm-hmm. Bearing your cross. Knowing you're a sinner and going with him anyhow. Amen? Mm-hmm. Bearing your cross. God knows that you're a sinner. When you say, "Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner," he already knows that.
Yeah.
But say, "God, forgive me, I'm addicted to pornography, I need help." Mm-hmm. "God, help me, I'm addicted to alcohol. Help me. Help me. I can't help myself. I can't get off of heroin. I need your help, God. And let me let you know, if you truly seek Him for those things, He will deliver you."
Amen.
And those who He set free, ooh, praise God, you are free indeed. But you need to be devoted to Him. You cannot be wishy-washy, tossed around by every wind of doctrine.
Amen.
Verse 28, "For which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first, and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it. all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Look at what Jesus is saying to the church. Look at those who are confessing Jesus Christ and not counting the cost. How many Christians or so-called Christians do you know that turned away? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen? They turned away from the glory of God. They turned away from the mercies of God. They turned away from the holiness of God because they didn't count the cost. I didn't know that I was going to go through tribulation. I didn't know. Nobody told me that there was a hard time coming. And I saw the weight and the pressures of this world, and it crushed me, and I turned away from God. Look what it says. The world looks at them. The world looks at them, and they say, the God he was serving wasn't big enough to carry him. Which is a lie. The God he was serving wasn't. But if he would have been serving, the real true God would have carried him through that storm. But first you've got to count the cost. Understand this. It's going to get hard. It's going to cost you something to be a Christian. This garbage that we have in America, blab it and grab it, gospel, this gospel made by man and not by God that says it doesn't hurt to be a Christian, it's all fluffer nutter. It's all unicorns and rainbows, people. That's not the truth. Count the cost. It's hard. It's the hardest thing on the earth to do, to be a Christian. It's so hard. We'll get to you in a moment, babe. Let me finish this. Let's halfway on verse 31. Or what king that's going out to war against another setteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet that cometh against him, or with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador, somebody bearing a letter that desireth a continuance of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be that who be of you that forsaketh not all he hath cannot be my disciple. Now, catch 33 again. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he hath cannot be my disciple. Okay, I'll read it again just in case you didn't get it. Okay? All right? Do you understand what Jesus is saying here? You've got to give it all.
Amen.
Right? You've got to give it all. And he says, if likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he hath, he cannot be my disciple. If a man doesn't love me more than he loves his mom, his dad, his wife, his children, he cannot be my disciple. If you don't bear your cross and follow him, you cannot be his disciple, his student. Let me ask you again, do you want to know God? There's a cost to that. It is this world. If you love this world, then the love of the Father is not in you. You don't hear this from many pulpits. You don't hear this from many preachers. You know why they don't hear it from many preachers? Because they want to build a big congregation. Personally, I don't care about the size of the congregation. I want a people that is holy and dedicated to God. God doesn't care about the size, and there were a multitude following him, and he turned around and said, listen, let's get this straight. If you don't love me more than all these other things, the word of God, right? If you don't love me more, you cannot be my disciple. What you got? Amen? He's holding up his Bible. I love that. I love that. Yeah, hold on. Amen. This. If you don't love this, you can't be his disciple. If you love something more than this, you know what a disciple is? It's a student. You know what a student does? It learns from a teacher. It comes to know the teaching. Jesus says, listen, folks, you got to be real here. It's more than just a prayer that brings you into the kingdom. It's a devotion to God. Oh. To truly know him, to truly be devoted to him. Oh. Y'all want to hear about fellowship and worship?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's already 25 after. I want you to know if you got beans burning at the house, call the fire department.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Get the fire extinguisher. somebody let my wife know that we're probably going long. Okay, she's the teacher in the back room over there. And I've got to be concerned about the teachers, all right? Because they're teaching little bitty kids. And I don't know if you know it or not, kids only have a real short span of attention. Right? They're not. Amen. You know, and so I've got to have compassion for her as much as for you. She's my wife. Amen. Now, if somebody wants to go relieve her, yeah. Oh, I don't see nobody jumping up on that one, dude.
I'm a believer.
If she wants to be relieved, I don't know. To truly enter in with Christ into this devotion, into this studentship, listening to Him, holding on to the words that He has, what that fellowship of the believers, that fellowship with Christ. You've got to want that enough. If you really want to know Jesus, you've got to want that. To know the power of His resurrection through the suffering that He has. Back to Philippians 1. You know, yes, sir.
He doesn't leave us empty-handed. That's not a promise on that.
Yeah.
And we're in 1838 of Luke, so surely I say to you, there's no one who's left house or parents or brothers or wife or children from the age of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many things more in this present time.
Right. Amen, because there's the promise of that.
It's all worth it.
It's all worth it. Amen. If you leave your house, your mom, your dad, your property, whatever you leave behind, Jesus says it's worth it. Again, I ended actually it was the movie last Friday night. He ended with this statement: "Is Jesus worth it? Is He worth it?" See, if you got to understand it, you got to come to that understanding within yourself that Jesus is worth it, and anything I lose in this life is not worth. I won't hold on to anything in this life that might take me from the resurrection. Right? That might keep me from the glory of God. I want Him more than silver or gold, as the song says. I want Him more than riches untold, as the song says. Now, is that the song of your heart? Do you really want to know Him? Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. I thank God, I thank my God, upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ, Christ Jesus. Even as it is meat, good stuff, food for you, right? Even as it is meat for me to think of this for you all, because I have in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Christ Jesus. Verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things which are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. Amen?
Amen.
Look at what Paul is saying here to the church. All right, this thing in Philippians, this fellowship of believers. We have a fellowship in the gospel from the first time that you accepted Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about from the first time you prayed a prayer. I'm talking about from the day of conversion. Amen? Because there's a lot of people that pray the prayer and never get converted. There's a lot of people that blab it and never, well, we talked about it today in Sunday school. Hey, notice how many times I'm talking about Sunday school? There must be something good going on there. Anyhow, that they draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. A lot of people in the Church of America, and this is the church I can talk to because this is where I'm at, in the Church of America that have drawn near to Jesus with their lips, but their heart's not with Him. Oh, we want all the blessings of God, but we don't want any of the sufferings of Christ. where Paul and Jesus said, if you want to be part of my glory, you got to join me in the suffering. Be a fellowship with the sufferings of God.
Amen.
Do you really want, do you want to, now as I'm getting to this, ask yourself, do you really want to know him? You got to want this. You got to want it more than everything else that we've already talked about, right? 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus, and I add the Christ, all right? Because Jesus is his name, his office is Messiah, right? The fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship. Who called you?
Christ
did. If Jesus didn't call you, you ain't part. Amen? Y'all remember when you're in grammar school or when you're last time you're in school and they called folks, there's the captain of the team, right? They picked normally the biggest, strongest, the best looking, so you know I was never that. And they would call you out. I want this one on my team. No, I want that one on my team. No, I want this one on my team. And they would go back and forth until the last person, me, was called, right? So, but don't say, oh, poor me. No, it's good. I didn't want to play sports anyhow. I wasn't into that thing. Anyhow, I wanted to chase the cheerleaders. I didn't care about the sports. In all of that, Jesus called you. Jesus called you to be in the fellowship with him.
Amen.
Right? It was the Spirit of God moving on you. It was God seeing you in the middle of your sin and calling you out by name. And he said, I love you, you filthy, rotten sinner. I died for you on the cross. I raised again from the dead to give you a way where there was no way. I tore the veil in the temple that you could enter from the holy place into the most holy of places, that fellowship. But do you want that fellowship more than you want this life? The dainties of this life. Wasn't that where Moses was at? Moses chose to suffer with the people of God more than to have the dainties of the Egyptian, of the Pharaohs. And he had the right to have it. He said, nope, I would rather suffer. Let me ask you this. Would you rather suffer to gain the kingdom? Would you rather do without? That's a tough one. And I'm not talking about hard things here, people. This should be a no-brainer for a Christian. You should be willing to turn off the stupid box.
Yeah.
All right? Because Jesus is worth it. You ought to be worth it. It should be worthwhile to get off of Twitter. Because Jesus is worth it. Remember what I said a little about an hour ago? That all that garbage comes straight out of the bowels of Satan? I would rather drink the fresh water from the throne of God than lap out of the toilet of Lucifer. All right? And if you look at it that way, it'll change. Well, I don't know how I'll keep up with my friends, my kinfolk, if I don't have Facebook. Guess what? You did it before Facebook. Amen? My grandmama didn't even have computers. And guess what? We kept up with each other. Smoke signals, but we did it. Amen? Do you really want him that much? Do you really want to have this fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 John chapter 1, verses 3, the latter part of that, I have 3b and 4. Ye also may have fellowship with us. Amen. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be filled. If you read 1 John and you really look at it, there's some hard things that he says. If you love the world more than you love God, you have no part of it. Right? If you're not willing to suffer the loss of all things for the glory of Christ, you have no part of him. Those are hard things. John says, listen, I want you to know this. I want you to have fellowship with us. Now remember, John was about ready to be exiled into the island Patmos, and there was a torture before that. How about Peter being crucified upside down, Polycarp being burned at the stake? Oh, those weren't the bride of Christ. God would never be his bride. Wait a second, really? Fellowship with his suffering. What a glory. Amen. What
be
Amen.
To bleed out for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen? If you think of love, he's preaching real weird. I'm preaching the Bible.
Right.
The gospel is bloody. It's the blood of the saints that brought us to Christ. Are we willing to do that? I ain't saying do it to yourself. But when it comes, and people, it is coming. Evil is here. Are you willing to have that type of fellowship? The fellowship of suffering. The suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to come. So yeah. Pull out my fingernails. It's okay. I love Jesus. You say, well, I wouldn't do it if my children were being brought through it. Oh, really? Oh, really? How about the Son of God? He said, you were worth it.
Mm-hmm.
These are hard things. This will not build a large congregation. But it will build a congregation that's prepared.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Some of the things that came into my mind. Now, the Father's always taken the first step in this relationship. You know it? He always wanted to have fellowship with his creation.
Amen.
Even way back in Genesis, Genesis 3, 8 through 9. And this is paraphrased. I've got it in green letters here, paraphrased, so you know I'm not quoting it word for word. They heard the voice speaking of Adam and Eve. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife. They hid themselves from the presence of God. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, where art thou? How often does God come to us in the cool of the day? Does he find you, or are we hiding from him? Is he calling your name? Where are you? Where are you at? Are you really desiring to have... See, if you really wanted fellowship with him, you wouldn't be hiding. You'd be coming straight out and saying, yes, God, here I am.
Amen.
I blew it. I'm naked again.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you know what Jesus will do? He will take a drop of his blood and he will drench you with it. And though you are sinners, he'll make you clean, whiter than snow.
Amen. Bless him.
But that takes a deep fellowship. That takes an acknowledgement. That takes a suffering. That takes a faithfulness to God. I'm sorely afraid that the church is not there in America. We follow too many pastors, theologians,
mm-hmm.
smart people. Oh, man, I don't like smart people. You know, smart people tell me that I came from a monkey.
Yeah, right.
You know, smart people tell me that I am an accident.
Right.
You know, by millions and billions of years, I was once a lizard. My grandson came home a couple years ago, and he told me the very same thing. Because I told him that we weren't made out of, we didn't come from monkeys. We're created with 6 literal days. God made everything we know. But his theologian, professor, teacher guy said, actually, you're more lizard than you are. Marsupial?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it is? See, hey, I got a big word.
Yeah.
All right, you're more of a reptile
yeah.
than you are a monkey.
Yeah.
I said, you're more of God than you are of either.
Amen. That's right.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He can't understand it.
No.
And I mean, praise God, Paul was a smart man, so I ain't putting all smart people down. But if you're relying on your PhD, piled high and deep award, from going to college, and I wish my wife were out here. She could tell you some things about college, what they're teaching, polluting our children's minds with.
Elementary,
amen. You know, elementary, you know what? In kindergarten right now, they're teaching your boys and little girls, that they can be anything they want to be in sexuality.
Yeah, right.
All right? Because you can, if you set your mind to it, you can be anything God's called you to be. You can be a plumber, electrician. You can be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
why. You could be a policeman. I wouldn't know why. Right? But you could be. If you, that's what you wanted to be and you pride yourself, you could do that. But they're saying that you were born, made a mistake from the womb. And the parents, Christian parents, continually send their children there. Okay. God desires this relationship with us. He comes to you walking in the garden, cool of the day. He calls us by name. And if we're living in sin, we always hide ourselves from that. God doesn't want that. He wants us to have fellowship.
Right.
He wants us to be honest before Him. Yeah, yes, I sin. I do. I don't know if y'all do or not, but I can tell you, I sin. I am a sinner. Every day I wake up, guess what? I'm a sinner. Every night when I go to bed, guess what? I'm a sinner. And until the day God glorifies this corpse and changes me from the corruptible into the incorruptible, I will sin every day.
Right.
But instead of falling away from God and hiding myself with God, I desire that fellowship with God. So I confess my sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive that sin. Those sins, it's not individual, it's grosser than that. Amen. How about worship? This is the last point here. Worship. Do we really worship God? Remember what the angels did, the seraphim? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the earth was filled with His glory. Say it with me. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the earth is filled with His glory. Say it out. Holy, holy, holy. Make the doorpost shake. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the earth is filled with His glory. Does that do something in you? Holy, holy, holy. He's so holy. He loves you so much. We are so unworthy. Have we entered into worship? Listen, worship, as the song says, is more than just a song. It's more than just coming together. It's understanding the awesomeness of God. He's holy. He's perfect in His creation. He's perfect. He's high above everything. The train of His robe fills the temple. What's your temple filled with? The sewage from Satan or the glory of God? Listen, you're filling your temple with the train of somebody.
That's right.
True worship. Jesus said it this way to the woman at the well. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, 23, the hour has come and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father's looking for true worship.
Amen.
He's like on the edge of heaven, like this. Mm-hmm. Who's really going to worship me? He's got His ear pressed down. Is there one out there that's going to worship me in spirit and truth? Is there anyone in the body of Christ in America that wants to worship God because He's worthy of all glory, honor, and praise? And not just saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, but living like God is holy and God's dwelling place is in me.
Amen.
Is He in you? Is He holy in you? Or do you treat Him as something? Do we see Him as God? The holiness, the glory, the awesomeness of God.
Amen.
I don't think we see Him as He is. Because too few pulpits, pastors, too few Christians study the holiness of God.
That's right.
Too few of us understand what real worship is. We think lighting our lighters, now it's a cell phone, holding your cell phone up and shaking, waving back, oh, I'm worshiping God, look at my cell phone, it has a little candle on it. That's not worship. Singing a song is not worship. Paying your tithe is not worship. Coming to church is not worship. Worshiping God in spirit and truth, you know what that means? Falling prostrate before the throne of God in a daily lifestyle. Do you know Him as holy God? I think we've watered down the gospel so much that teachers, preachers, multi-millionaire jets screaming across the sky, paid professional actors that call themselves pastors, have watered down the gospel, the holiness of God. You say, well, Jesus is your friend. He'll never judge you. God's holy. He must judge you. If He is righteous, He's got to judge you.
Amen. Yes.
Oh, I don't want to be judged by my works. No. That's why I come to the throne room of God in worship every morning, every day, that I might not sin against Him. David said, I've hid His word in my heart. How many of us memorize Scripture? All right? How many of us hunger and thirst after righteousness? How many of us really, really want God to be Elohim? Right? The God of all things in you. That's real worship. That's the beginning point of worship. That's where you start. And then you walk in that worship.
Amen.
Every moment of every day. And when you get out of worship, what do you got to do? Come back in spirit and truth. Amen. Because I struggle. Right? You struggle to enter into His worship. He that worshiped Me must, well, the Father's seeking someone who would worship Him in spirit and truth. Jesus asked this question. He said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? When I return, will there be anybody worshiping Me? Oh, we'll worship Fauci, sure enough. Right? We'll worship Cuomo. We'll shut down, jump through hoops for that fool. I'm not talking down about him. I'm just saying the truth. You know, it is what it is. Or anybody. Your professor. Right? It doesn't have to be somebody in the political realm. Me? Hey, don't think I'm all that great. Please, don't think that I'm something that I'm not. I'm a sinner. Right? Saved by grace, but I'm a sinner. I have no right to accuse you of something. I'm in the midst of it myself. I struggle daily. I need to worship God more. Right? I've been struggling. I'll tell you, I've been struggling with YouTube for a while. It's been a weight around my neck. It's dragging me away from true worship in Jesus. And I know it. And I still watch that garbage. I don't know what your hang-up is, but that's my hangnail right now. And if I ever get over this, guess what? There's another hangnail. God, forgive me. I want to worship Him in spirit and truth.
Amen.
And Jesus, in His temptation, Luke 4 and 8, says, He told Satan to get behind Me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve.
Amen.
I think I may have put the wrong word there. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. The Lord God. How many things in our life do we need to say, get thee behind me in? Amen? It might be a friend. You know, a friend can lead you away from God. It can be a Christian brother,
right.
Christian sister. Right? God told me to worship Him today. God told me to pray. All right? Well, you know, come on, let's go, I don't know, let's do something different. Well, it sure sounds fun. I want to go. What's that carnival ride here in Rochester? They do it every year. It's so out by the lake.
Sea Breeze,
yeah. Come on, let's go to Sea Breeze. Yeah, we'll get to see a bunch of half-naked women over there, you know, or whatever. We'll get to eat popcorn out of the kernel thingy or what. Wait a second. God told me to set apart time for Him. I can't go, well, you're no fun. You're right. I'm no fun. I want to worship Jesus. I want to have Him first and foremost in my life. I want Him to be my yes and my no's, my alpha, my omega, the first and the last in me all the time. That's something, brother?
The things that motivate our life, what motivates our life is our worship.
Amen.
If we can understand who we truly worship by what our motivation sets
yes.
on, and those things can be brought forth by prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
This type only comes forth
by prayer and fasting. Amen.
That's how we overcome them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But we can know them by our motivations.
Right.
If we feel led to watch, you know, to watch such and such a show
yeah.
every day without fail, that's our worship.
Yeah.
That's who our Lord
that's
is.
And maybe something simple like washing your car. Mm-hmm. I know somebody that worships their lawn. What a stupid thing. But he's out there, all of his grass is perfect. I want to go over there and just drag my feet to it. No. But he worships his lawn. We can worship a lot of stuff. Where is your heart centered at? Are you centered on the cornerstone of your faith? Are you centered on Jesus Christ? Is He in the middle of you and you in the middle of Him? You can do good things and be worshiping something that's not necessarily bad, but it ain't God.
Right.
And if you ain't worshiping God, you're not doing it in truth and in spirit, or spirit and truth. Holiness before God. Hebrews 12, 29 through 27 through 29. This will be the last scripture I read tonight by the grace of God. This word, speaking about worship, this word, yet once more strengthened the remaining things. Strengthened. Okay, I wrote that messed up. Excuse me. I like it when I mess things up on my thing because I could open my Bible. You know? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 12. And I like, again, the sound of the page. 27 through 29. One more page. And this word. Okay, wait a second. We've got to stop before there. 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling. This is verse 24. That sprinkleth, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, and now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Do you know that there's a this sermon right here is about a shaking? It's about it's to make you a little uncomfortable, to shake you up. And he says that his voice is to do that. Verse 27. And this word yet once more signifieth by the removing of those things which are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. All right, God's going to shake some stuff. What will not move in you? Remember what Jesus talked about, the story about building a house, some built on the shifting sand, some dug down to the solid foundation. If you dig down in solid to the solid foundation with worship, with fellowship, with devotion, with prayer, you dig down, no matter what shaking comes, you'll stand.
Right.
Amen? You'll stand because you're in Christ Jesus. Amen? Verse 28, wherefore you receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Say that word for me. Acceptably, yeah. With reverence and a godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Mm-hmm.
All right, come on now. Listen, are you ready to worship Him? Are you really, really ready to worship God? Are you really to be totally devoted to Him without any division in your life? Do you really want to know Him? Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you know me. You know what happens when you shake something? Dead stuff falls off. Amen. God's wanting the dead stuff on us to fall away.
Amen.
Church, I don't know how much time we got left. I really don't. Before the true persecution comes. And I think in America, we're going to see a persecution that we have never faced. And if we're not solid in Jesus Christ, if we don't know Him, we will fall away. Right? You be prepared to go through. Don't just say, I'm going to be raptured out before any trouble happens. I hope that, I praise God, that would be great. But don't expect it. If God spared not the angels, if God not spared not His only Son, if God did those things to shake up the earth, how much more will He shake us? We've got to be sure we're grounded. Those four things, once again, to worship Him, to have fellowship with Him, to be devoted with Him, and to give time in prayer. You really want to know Jesus? Get rid of yourself. Amen? I could have made this a really short sermon. You know? Folks, I love you. I want you to know I absolutely love you. And I want God's best for you. Amen? I want you to know that this is, Christianity is not for cowards. You got to be tough. And it's not that you got to be tough. You got to be surrendered. To really know Jesus and the fullness of His love, the holiness that He has, that comes through a deeper relationship with Him. And you can do it. You can do it through Christ who strengthens you. All these may seem impossible, but God. Folks, I love you. I've kept you long enough. To God be the glory. Dear Father, we do thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your love. Lord, help us to know You better. Father, help us to walk with You in the fullness of life. Father, kill me. Please, Lord. Please kill me. Kill me. That I might shine for You. Lord, let me seek You with the fullness of my heart. Father, let me know You. I pray that for the people that are here, Lord, that they would know the real, true God, the holiness of God, the fellowship of His sufferings, Lord Jesus. Move mighty over us that we might stand in the day of affliction. Lord, we thank You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.